Yeah, oh, that, but recognize after this, I will close our session of public comment, and then we'll turn it over to the Army Corps. Over to you.
I can make my comment now because I don't think it depends on the presentation. My name is Bob Horvath. I live at 320 Worcester in Cambria and Park Hill. And so far, I've just looked at the notice of preparation. And I have three comments. One is that demand should be reevaluated. I understand that the board is already doing this and that we're using less water than what was projected when the water emergency was declared. So if that's reevaluated, this could lead to a smaller project, whatever project is selected. And also if the moratorium was on building was based on inaccurate projections, it's appropriate and possibly a legal requirement that you correct it and allow some measure of new connections. My second comment is that reclaimed water was not identified in the NOP as a source of supply. Increasing use of reclaimed water could also result in a smaller project. For example, Shamel Park is irrigated, as far as I can tell, with potable water. And that's very close to the wastewater treatment plant, and also the line of motels and businesses along Moonstone Beach are also within close striking distance of using reclaimed water from the wastewater treatment plant. It probably would require a upgrade to the treatment plant to meet Title 22 requirements for landscape irrigation, but it could also be a fairly small package treatment plant that they make for those kinds of uses now. And again, this could be reducing the size of the overall project that you go ahead with, as well as being more cost-effective than a new source of water supply. And then finally, as I was saying to Jackie earlier, to Josephine.
Sorry.
Anyway, this NOP process is a formality of the EIR process, where you're trying to get comments from other agencies, and that's very important. But what I've seen over the staff. Those are my comments. Thank you.
The ones that are close are going to get there first. Usually, process-wise, there would be a form filled out with the name. So if you could identify yourself for the clerk so that you are recorded. Man in green.
My name is Greg Burge. I here to represent Unclog Cambria. We only have three questions tonight that we want to get on the record. Number one would be, as far as the water source or whatever the ultimate water source is here, our main question is this going to change the 4650, which we don't believe it will with the mitigation measure in place? Well, we think that's a given. If a new water source comes in, will the wait list ever be opened? We wanted to get that on the record to see if that would ever happen. Okay, I'll say the two questions again. I'm sorry. First question is, I represent Unclog Cambria. But we're here to ask the three questions that need to be asked. That is, will the new water source, whatever it is it will be excess of 4650 to allow anybody other than those on the wait list? The second question is, will the new water source allow the wait list to be open, which we know it won't. But this is the most important that I want to get on the record because we're in negotiations with the State Regional Water Control Board. We're on record that you're going to be building a new sewer treatment plant because not one drop of your water on your new water source is going to be treated in our sewer treatment plant. We paid for that through assessment districts. We had negotiations with Mr. Packard because we're not very happy that we paid 25 years of bonds for the privilege of owning sewer and fronting our property. And what the CCSD and the State Regional Water Control Board failed to understand, and especially the Coastal Commission, is that sewer is available, and we have it in writing from the State Regional Water Control Board, because by California law, if it's fronting and abutting your property, you must hook up. This question, particularly asked of your wonderful board here, has never been answered. It has been answered by the State Regional Board. So I hope you guys are prepared to put a new sewer treatment plant in, because that's capacity, and we paid for capacity. We were required under the original permit to be served. The original permit was 40.
Stand up so I can see. There's one in the middle with a black on. Oh, that's Ms. Burton. I do know that name. It's going to be fun.
Good afternoon. My name is Mahala Burton. I live in Cambria. I bought a house. I didn't build one, just to set the record straight. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the scoping for a Cambria desalination facility and other supply alternatives. First, I will comment on several procedural issues. The Army Corps legal notice states on page 5, a coastal consistency determination is required. I will now read a transcript verbatim of the January 12, 2012 Coastal Commission hearing, wherein the California Coastal Commissioners adopted the findings of the December 9th geotechnical hearing. Sorry, got this right here. This is the attorney speaking. We believe for the desalination facility contemplated in the future, for that desalination facility, the Cambria Community Services District must obtain a coastal development permit required by the San Luis Obispo County Local Coastal Program. The LCP says they, CCSD, will need a coastal development permit. The LCP says for any major water supply project. Even if the Army Corps builds the facility, the project cooperation agreement specifies that the CCSD is responsible for operating that facility, and as such, facility continues to do such activities as withdrawing and discharging seawater, which constitutes development. We therefore have added language in the addendum that any subsequent proposal for a desalination facility will require a coastal development permit. That was a 9-0 vote. Two commissioners made quotes. This is Yana Zimmer. I want to be clear, any desalination plant will require a coastal development permit. Esther Sanchez. For the record, staff based their report on our specific findings. The staff included the basis for our findings. Staff listened and findings specific and relevant to our decision. Dana Baccio, I concur. I have the CD with the actual excerpts of the video if anybody in the Army Corps would like them. Would you like them, Josephine?
Oh, I've got it.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Next. There's one with the yellow sweater.
Christine Heimix, I'm here in Cambria. Desalination is not appropriate for Cambria on both environmental and financial grounds. Cambria's coastline environment is protected by the state, the Department of Parks and Recreation, federally is protected by the Department of Commerce's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as a marine protected area and a national marine sanctuary, and the Department of Interior's Bureau of Land Management as the California Coastal National Monument. All these agencies cite protection of the site as their responsibility and goal. As a national marine sanctuary, desalination is not acceptable. NOAA states, without careful planning and mitigation measures, desalination plants have the potential to negatively impact the sensitive marine environment of the sanctuary. NOAA continues, three of the sanctuary's regulations relate directly to desalination. The first involves a prohibition on discharging or depositing any material within sanctuary boundaries. Is that my limit?
No, you're still good.
Oh, okay.
You have a full minute to go.
Okay. Well, there's two more. The superintendent of the San Luis Obispo District for the State Parks Agency has indicated that desalination is not appropriate for this sensitive area. The Coastal Commission has unanimously ruled on this issue. It is time for the CCSD and the Corps of Engineers to take no for an answer. Financial costs remain undetermined. Lacking a clear financial target inhibits the ability of the public to evaluate and comment. although no figures have been proposed, costs will certainly be in the millions or tens of millions. In the report, Desalination with a Grain of Salt, a California Perspective, written by the Pacific Institute, a leading nonprofit research and advocacy organization, they state, water planners, agencies, and managers must comprehensively analyze all options, including conservation and efficiency, and pursue less costly, less environmentally damaging alternatives first. The economic times are such that ambitious capital improvements that extend debt are not advisable. Many urban areas with more varied financial resources than Cambria have found community to provide environmentally sound water resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
I'm Valerie Bentz, a Cambria resident for over a decade, and homeowner and taxpayer. And I have two points to make. One is I have studied the water master plan of that the Cambria CCSD came out with a while back, but it's the one that's still in operation. In this water master plan, there's a summary sheet where they calculated why desalinization was chosen above four or five other alternatives, that some of which are beautifully displayed in the lobby, such as the Whale Rock, water reservoirs, and other options, recycling. And if you look at that final chart, you will see that if the one of the assumptions made was that Cambria would receive $9 or $10 million from the government, from federal funds, and that money would go to desalination. I had a conversation with Lois Capps and Greg Haas, her assistant, a few months ago, in which they told me there's no reason why those funds have to go to desalination. In other communities, they're going for sewer, refurbishation. And on other projects, and actually the priorities favor environmentally friendly projects. Why in that chart did it go into desalination? If you take the same chart and you put that $9-10 million into any other alternative, that alternative would come out number one. But for years we have been hearing that desalinization is the best and the only resource. Why? There's all kinds of answers to that, which I'm sure that you can imagine. But that was one of my main points. It's that desalinization only comes out number one because of the assumption of the federal funds, which could be used for other alternatives. And right now, it's questionable because of our national budget crisis whether we'd actually get them at all. So if you wipe that out of your mind, that desal is our only and best answer, forget it. It's not, and it never. Some people have moved here because they bought a house that existed, and they used the water, or they remodeled, or they tore it down and built. So I just wonder, I welcome Valerie. The folks who want to move here. Why don't they buy one of those homes and build? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Valerie.
Good evening. My name is Ron Crumman. I'm a 32-year resident of this beautiful community. My wife and I have just loved it here. I would say, as all of you, I think we have a common denominator in that sentiment. When we're looking at a water situation, I think we have to look at our history, and we have to think logically. In the 1980s, my wife and I were here when we had 5 years of drought. I mean, 5 years of drought. We lived on 25 gallons per person a day of water. Lawns dried up. You couldn't hardly take a shower. It was not easy. And it came suddenly, and it can just come as suddenly as it did here. Logically thinking again, Whale Rock Dam, in terms of if you think there's a drought situation, is owned by San Luis Obispo. In a drought situation, It was low, just like Kachuma was only about a third of the water that is normal. Who do you think gets first dibs at that water in a drought? Cambria? No, San Luis. Nacimiento Lake, guess who owns that? Monterey County. It's who again gets first dibs at the water in a stress drought situation? Monterey, not us. We need a permanent source of unlimited water supply, and the biggest thing is that pond out there. Now, that doesn't mean we go rampant in growth. That doesn't mean we go wild and getting condos all over the place. We have a BRP program in place that limits the hookups to 4,566 hookups tied to that plant. It is still the best possibility and best plant that we have. The possibility that we have. You know what, 10, they say, well, how many people, everybody didn't decide on this, and it was kind of back and forth. We had 10 years that we've had this. In 10 years, we've had five boards. Every 2 years, they're elected. All of these boards, when they came in, there was some beat our neighbors. I think that unlimited water doesn't necessarily mean unlimited growth. There can be controls that we're setting in place, and we need to give that logical consideration to our future in terms of drought, not to mention even fire danger. Thank you for your time.
I must compliment the speakers. They're right on, 3 minutes apiece. It's amazing. Men in blue.
Hello, I'm Rich Martin. I'm with White Buffalo Nation out of Crescent Valley, Nevada. And you might want to get a pen and paper handy, write this down. We have units that produce water. They produce water from the air. They're water precipitation generators. And you don't need to touch the ocean. Well, one does, but that will produce about 5 million gallons a day. For home use, a 1,000-liter unit will cost roughly $50,000. I just talked with the bank manager at Rabobank. They will do home equity lines of credit for free. So not the interest rate, but the initiation. But we have units that will produce as little as 10 gallons a day for $1,500 for a kitchen. We have engineers that will engineer a system for your home. New construction is easy because it's not easy if there's a moratorium. But hopefully with the use of these units, Cambria homeowners can take control of their own water supply. 1,000 liters a day production equals about 250 to 300 gallons of water that's yours. You own the unit in your home, so you can do with the water what you want. Subject to applicable laws. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. You were at our last board meeting.
I was.
I Googled you. I couldn't find your website. You didn't bring brochures last time.
Yeah,
you know. How do we get a hold of you guys?
It's White Buffalo Nation. You can go to planetwater.tripod.com. Tripod, like one of those, .com. And you'll see all our devices. There are special links on there. We'll have to go through that with our engineers. I don't know offhand. But it varies. Yes, sir?
How well does it work in the way
out right now? Hold on.
Process-wise, we're getting the breakdown. We have so many folks tonight.
I'm sorry, say you're still within my 3 minutes?
You're out of your 3 minutes.
Okay.
But let us address the board, and I will try to get to you in your comments, but come here, not directly to
the
speaker.
What I'd like to do is set up a meeting with CCSD and everyone involved in the decision-making process so our engineers can get on a telephone conference and describe each scenario.
Sounds very interesting.
I'm sorry? Yeah, but it starts here, I'm sorry. But you can call. Send me an email, rich_martin_us@yahoo.com.
Mr.
Very
Martin.
Simple, it's my name.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
Tina?
Tina Dickinson, Cambria resident, Cambria ratepayer, and taxpayer. And I've lived here, had a house for 15 years. I didn't have any prepared comments because actually I was hoping we would hear from the Army Corps with their alternatives before we had a chance to respond. But in looking at the Cambrian today, it is most confusing to Cambrians or anyone else who might be interested in someday living here. We have on page 3 of the Cambrian a notice about the meeting we're having tonight. It says that the Army Corps and the CCSD want to hear from the public about environmental and other impacts of the district's planned desalination project and various other water sources that might be viable options to fill any watery void between what the community has and what it needs to fill the future. Then the next paragraph says, the district's focus on desalination may be changing given recent rejections by the Coastal Commission of separate projects, one near San Simeon Creek, the other Santa Rosa. In another article, it says this, board to revisit town water needs. For several years, a, quote, quality of life, unquote, increase in residential water use has been part of the Cambria Services District determination of how much additional water the town should plan to get from a new water source. Then it talks about the meeting. Next letter to you says, you don't have to use the word desalination. You can now use the word water. So go figure, people, where we really are and where we're going to be at the end of this meeting, because I can assure you that the goal is desalination. And I agree with Valerie Benson. I mentioned it in last month's board meeting. If you really want to live here, houses are 50% less than they were 4 years ago and unprecedented interest rates at 3.5%. So go for it. If you want to live here, do something about it. Don't put it on us. Thank you.
just to reiterate, this is a scoping session that will solicit your issues, your concerns through the Army Corps and their representatives. So, Tina, you can address after this public session is over. After I close it, it will be turned over to the Corps.
Thank you.
And at that point, you can have your concerns met.
Thank you.
Mary.
Mary Webb, Cambria resident and have lived here for 26 years. This is an important moment for the Community Services District, the Army Corps, Cambria residents and commercial ratepayers, water waitlist people, and others wanting to build in Cambria. Cambria relies solely on groundwater wells from two aquifers, San Simeon Creek and Santa Rosa Creek. We simply pump groundwater from the wells located in the creeks, we treat it with a little bit of chlorine, and we drink it. In the few times drought has threatened the town, it's a very straightforward process that the town has relied on since 1959 with very few problems. In the few times drought has threatened water availability, the community responds quickly and effectively by reducing consumption. We have added thousands of new homes since 1959. In fact, 310 new housing units have been added since the moratorium of 2001, yet the wait list is still 666. We have been able to rely on this simple and inexpensive means of providing water to residents and have even added more houses and more people. We are not out of water, but we don't have excess water to grow either. The NOP states incorrectly that the relative remote location of Cambria has resulted in the area relying solely upon groundwater for its local supply. We don't rely on local groundwater just because we're remote. We made choices. When we were given the choice between adding growth to a small village through the quality of life, the noise, and increase in traffic, when we have a choice, we choose not to grow and we use less water instead. We've never been offered a choice with desalination. It's always been desal or nothing. This is not the first time these water alternative ideas have been offered by locals. Hundreds of letters have already been written with offering ideas to save water through conservation, retrofitting, commercial, landscaping ordinances, rebate programs, cisterns, rain collectors, recycling. I mean, you name it. We still don't have any funding for the conservation, and we fired the conservation officer. Just desalination has been considered as the sole answer to a new water supply for 19 years without success. We have spent millions of dollars with no alternative plan. We don't even have a project location anymore. If you go out and look in that other room there, what they're going to show you are new locations for desalination because we don't have a location anymore. The public speakers have been warning the district the last two proposed locations for the intake pipes were going to be denied, and they were by the Coastal Commission. Margaret Kramer, give me her 3 minutes, please.
I'm giving Mary my 3 minutes.
Other permitting agencies also denied these intake pipelines due to wildlife habitat and environmental impact concerns in highly sensitive areas on both land and sea. The state agencies are just now catching up to the promotion of desalination by the well-funded desalination industry advocates. More stringent laws are being enacted and enforced today regarding the inappropriate use of desalination when alternatives are feasible, installing intake and outfall pipes when none exist today, restricting brine discharges in sensitive marine environments, limiting increased energy use, and the financial cost and financial burden to future generations. Desalination is dead no matter where you want to move the project. It is the wrong direction for Cambria, and the waitlistees will never be able to build their dream homes if we continue pursuing it. Moving forward successfully will require the careful consideration of a wide range of alternative actions and multiple small projects. We need a new direction in water and wastewater management, reuse, and reporting. The least costly project with the least amount of damage to the environment needs to be the top priority. Cambria will be able to move forward by embracing current laws on the environment and following the guidance and future direction of all permitting agencies instead of avoiding and evading environmental review. Thank you.
Just a comment. I'm reminded as quickly as possible. I don't want to wear you out because now the main event is with the Army Corps. So we'll take a few more and then close public comment and move on to the main course, if you will. You'll have to Indian arm wrestle that person behind you. No. Okay, the lady in gray. And then you, sir, afterwards. You're last. Okay.
Hello. My name is Janine Jacobs. I'm an environmental advocate. Earth Awake is my organization. I would like the Army Corps and the California Water Commission, state parks, and actually the government of California to consider only having regional territories for desal. There's already 9 that are planned and operating. There's one that has already been developed in Morro Bay, and we just need to keep it more controlled, because it isn't as environmentally sound as other means. I concur with Mary and Christine Hendricks that conservation has not been addressed sufficiently by this board. But I am pleased to hear that you are open to more other conservation means, for sure. So I wanted to say that the Army should, if you do end up making a budget and researching whether desal is better or more feasible than certain conservation methods or comprehensive conservation methods, then really include all the costs. I think that the solar mitigation was ever included in the budget when we had thought of solar mitigation out in Wasco to run the plant. We had gone from $25 million up to $42 million for the desal, and it was quite expensive. So really include all the costs, research and development, all the costs. And store it in water storage tanks. You could even have filters that are appropriate just for drinking water for that purpose. So, you know, we have all kinds of things we can do with water catchment. We have a field out here near Rainbow Bank. We have gates that are already there that could, after a certain level of viscosity is measured at the bridge on Santa Rosa, we could hold that water for 6 months so that all the diseases that you're concerned about are gone, and then we pump that, filter it, and use that. We have the purple pipes in place. So let's use the conservation methods that make sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jim Ensley. I'm from Las Vegas. Much of this last 20 years, CCSD has spent tons of money looking for additional source of water, and studies have been done showing that desalinization is the best source. With all due respect to those who believe that there are many more cost-effective ways of getting water, short of finding some lost, forgotten spring in Cambria, there is none. While I am open to alternatives for desalinization, as it stands now, based on all the years of study, desalinization is the best choice for providing additional water that won't be impacted by drought. What we don't need is to repress and draw the process out any longer. Therefore, I believe that desalinization is the best viable way to meet the need and for external water supply. I encourage the Corp to do what it takes to fulfill the mission without delay. We've waited too long. Thank you.
Thank you.
The things that I've heard tonight from this community that's here, environmental stewardship. The board is responsible for this community's resources, and they are not managing them to the best of what could be done, I believe. They're just citizens like us. They don't necessarily have any special training in how to manage resources, but that doesn't mean that they're off the hook for not doing it well. First speaker talked about revising the demand. I think that's essential. If you look at the EPA studies of water use over the entire United States, they do a study every 10 years. And guess what? Our population went up, but our per capita water use went down. Our actual water use in California is the exact same, even though our population is much, much larger. And a lot of that has to do with efficiencies in your home that you don't even have to think about. Toilets that flush great, that don't use 6 gallons per flush, makes a huge difference even in a small community. I also think the thing that I heard that I didn't hear is the question of reliability and how much we're willing to pay for a reliability of 100%. How important is it that if it's 3 years on in a drought, that when I turn on my tap because I want water, I get that water without having to reduce. We're not talking about 3 years in a drought and everybody uses 25 gallons. 3 years in a drought and everybody uses as much water as they want. We need to be smarter about what... If you love this community, you should want to protect the resources as much as people who want to have more resources just because they want more resources so they can live here. I also really... I would like to say again, the Coastal Commission, every time there's a hearing for Cambria, the Coastal Commission says, what about your in-stream flow studies? What about your in-stream flow studies? They've been saying it for over a decade now. and we still have not embarked on that adventure. So we don't even really know how much water we have. We know how much water we're permitted, but we don't know how much water we have that we don't destroy the habitat. We don't know how much water we have that we can all have green lawns and golf courses if we want. We don't know. So I think it's really important that these things are addressed. The last thing I'm going to say is, at least, no matter what ends up happening, at least we will know if it's not desal. We really, really...
So did you advertise that you were only going to take a certain number of public comments?
Well, I hope that you would understand with this number of folks.
Yeah. We have the Brown Act in California.
That is correct. If you have a specific question that you need to address, okay, come up, sir.
I don't think you can cut this off without violating the Brown Act.
I'm not cutting it off. I'm trying to minimize it so that the Corps, who has the scoping session as the primary objective tonight, if you can address your concern to them, fine. If you have to address it to us, fine.
My name is Lou Blanc. I'm a former board member. I served on the board from 97 through 2000.
I know you, Lou.
I'm a licensed professional geologist, engineering geologist, geophysicist and hydrogeologist here in California. I work for the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I just wanted to let you know what I've done here before. Continuing to repeat the same mistakes over and over again is the definition of insanity. Increasing energy costs and the many endangered species here in this area of the Central Coast will always stop desal as an option. Seawater desalination. It'll always stop it. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the California Department of Fish and Game train their staff here because there are so many endangered species. They train them here. While I took that training, I worked out an option for side canyon diversion reservoirs that Cambria could put in both of their canyons, and that met all of the environmental concerns of both of those agencies. So that is a viable option. As long as that option is there, desal is not feasible. Also, wastewater repurification has become very popular in California communities now and can enhance Cambria's water supply and provide ag irrigation up both canyons and enhance the canyon environment as well as our water supply. So both sidestream diversion canyons and repurification of wastewater can enhance those. New options, such as taking our highly humid environment and bringing water out of that, that's something that kept the Cambria pines alive all these years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Share their opinions. The meeting started 15 minutes late, or not even an hour into the meeting. It's 8 o'clock, and we're already getting shut down, no matter what your opinion is. And so I would say to Mr. President that what we need to do here is, if the meetings are going to start at 7 o'clock, start them at 7. I appreciate the fact that it is at night so that the people who work during the day can attend these meetings. The meetings, as you know, used to be in the evening so more people could come. And I'm sorry if the meeting is going to go a little longer than what you anticipated, but we've had meetings here in Cambria that go way past midnight. One thing I would like to request, and here's my question, that rather than speak about a project, let's talk about safe annual yield. That needs to be defined before you can even consider a project. And I think we've got the cart before the horse. If we're not going to do desal, so be it. But we need to determine what the creeks will offer. In the old days when we were doing projects, and by the way, desal was approved by the Coastal Commission, as we all know, we had safe annual yield studies, and that's what we based our projects on. But I hear no discussion of that. For 2 years, we messed around on Santa Rosa Creek and San Simeon at the mouth Everybody knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. We wasted money and time, and I can see we're going down that road again. Thank you.
Well, Jim. Certainly, of course.
This isn't too uncomfortable. Written comments. Written comments, I guess, are to be turned into Bob Greshens and Kathleen Anderson. So perhaps Ms. Anderson. My name's Jim Webb. I live here in Cambria, and I'll thank you for the opportunity to speak. I will make it very brief and consult the record. Treatment of wastewater at a level that would allow it to be reused directly in the district's potable water system. This ought to be considered as an alternative with its costs and impacts compared to the proposed project. And I would just like to reiterate those comments and encourage the board to do just that. The last thing I'm going to say is that to the south of us, from Point Conception south, the southern California coastal steelhead has been declared an endangered species. In our area, the steelhead is considered a threatened species, but my opinion is that with the crashing of local populations in Santa Rosa Creek and in San Simeon Creek, that species is destined for endangered status very soon. I think in light of that, any project that seeks to in any way impinge upon their limited chances for survival is probably going to be very difficult to permit. And again, thank you, Mr. President, for allowing me that time.
I am going to close public comment at this point, and I will reiterate the fact, perhaps Josephine Axe, Chief of Planning, might want to comment on the process that she and her team want to conduct in this scoping session. I'm here all night, so whatever it takes, and I think the Corps is as well. So I truly appreciate the comments. Obviously, you've all studied and you've spoken before at our Board of Directors meetings. I think we all love Cambria. We're all trying to do the same thing, make it as comfortable as possible to live here. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Josephine Axe and the moderator.
Sure. Thank you.
And you tell us what's going to happen.
Good evening. My name is Sam Genoway. I work with Catherine Padilla and Associates. This is Catherine Padilla. Let me explain the process to you a little bit now for something completely different. The format that we chose for this evening, this facilitated discussion, was designed in a way so that everybody who came tonight has an opportunity to speak and be able to have everybody speak and not have to necessarily do the 3 minutes and 3 minutes and the 3 minutes, give everybody an opportunity to speak. So here's how the process will work. We have these. How do we get the slides up there? It's a particular study, and we want to give you a little bit of background on that. Talk a little bit about who authorized the studies, what the process is, and what you're going to learn about the process is that for this particular environmental study, we're at the very, 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 very beginning part of that. And the purpose of a scoping meeting is really simple. No matter how much of an expert we may be, we are never going to be as much of an expert as you, the people who live, work, and play in this particular community. You have local knowledge. You have local knowledge that we really, really need. And for that local knowledge, what we're looking for you tonight is for you to tell us what you believe are the issues, the opportunities, your hopes or your fears with regards to any kind of a project that tries to meet the purpose that's going to be stated up here. A lot of the comments that were during the first hour, for those people who did those comments, if you want to restate them really briefly, what Catherine's going to do is she's going to record your comments on these sheets of paper. This is going to be a real-time summary of what we're hearing tonight, so we make sure that we've heard everything. If you have questions, we may not necessarily answer your questions, but your question is something that needs to get answered through the environmental process. So we'll document and record your question. What I'm going to be doing when we get to the discussion part is I'm going to be running through the audience. Just put your hand up, stand up, say who you are, and just make your comment and let us know once again, as we look at this process, as we look at the purpose that you see, what do you believe are the issues that need to be looked at? What do you believe are the opportunities? What do you believe are your hopes or your fears for the community? And we'll try to capture them all. So I hope that that makes sense. But first, what I'd like to do is introduce Josephine Axe from the Corps. She's going to do a brief presentation to, once again, walk you through some of the basics of why we're here this evening.
Okay. Great. Thank you. May I have the clicker, too? Oh, is it here? Sorry.
That's good. There you go.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I really appreciate you being here. I'm glad to be here. There's a lot of the core team here to listen to what you have to say. I want to reiterate what Sam was mentioning in terms of the purpose of the scoping meeting. So there's three key things I want to emphasize. First, we want to give you a sense of the process that we're going to go through. And it has to do with an EIS, EIR. I'll define exactly what those things are in a minute. But I want to make sure everybody leaves tonight with a sense of where we are in this process. Second, I want to give an overview of the purpose in terms of the Cambria Water Supply study or project, what the purpose of it is. And then most important, we want to receive input. So we've inform and shape what alternatives we actually develop for the project. And then the last thing to mention is that, yes, everything that we take in today will be addressed in the EIS EIR. And I'll define those things in a second real quick. So background, you all have a lot more background on this than I do, no doubt about that. Briefly, in terms of federal involvement, CCSD investigated how the federal government could get involved in investigating the water supply issue a number of years ago. So the Corps of Engineers has an authorization from Congress to look at water supply issues. Specifically, the authorization said desal. So through the National Environmental Policy Act, we will consider a range of alternatives. So our specific authorization mentions desal, but we're not limited, and we've tried to make this clear in the past, we're not limited to only look at desal. And so we're partnering with CCSD, and we signed an agreement, you know, a few years back to work together to look at desal and other things that might meet water supply needs in Cambria. So it's important to briefly state, and I know some of you know a lot about this, but for everybody's benefit, so the National Environmental Policy Act requires the production of a document called an Environmental Impact Statement. And so as a federal agency, we have to satisfy what's called NEPA. So whenever the Corps partners with non-federal agencies, if, like in the state of California, they have an Environmental Quality Act, California has CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, that they have to satisfy, then we do what's called an integrated document, an EIS-EIR. So don't produce two documents that are on the same alternatives, you know, integrate them and have that one document satisfy the requirements of both a federal and a state law. So we aren't the lead agency on CEQA, and CCSD isn't the lead agency on NEPA, but we're working together to produce a document that will satisfy both. So that's a really important point I want to make. So I try not to just read from slides because you all can do that, but I can't say it any better than this. So I'm simply going to read that the project purpose for this study that we're going to do, the future use for those properties that don't have, you know, as part of the moratorium that can't be built on now. So we will go into much more detail in the EIS-EIR, but we'll look at, is the current water supply sufficient for emergency situations? You know, I know there was the incident some years back with a plume that got close to a groundwater well
And so that well stopped producing to make sure the plume didn't get pulled into it. You know, other emergencies could be earthquakes or fires. You know, I think a lot of the philosophy of water supply these days is don't put all your eggs in one basket. So I work with a lot of water districts, actually, and it's all about reliability and diversification. So in general, Cambria relies on groundwater wells. So in terms of the other water districts I've worked with, they're trying to, you know, have a portfolio, to use that financial analogy, where they have diversification. So if something happens with one of their methods of securing water, they've got some backup. So in terms of need, it seems there's a need to have some increased reliability in the water supply in Cambria that would get at both current use, where if there were a drought, is there going to be enough? And, you know, there's numbers and people have different ideas about what they mean. We're going to look at that, do analysis. And in terms of future use, you know, that's not our call to make, but we're looking in the EIS, EIR, and we'll come up with recommendations for increasing water supply if that's what Cambria wants to do. So I want to briefly mention something that's a real integral part of the CCSD master plan, and that's both recycled water and demand management. And I was talking with someone earlier before we got started just about how cutting edge Cambria is in terms of the low-hanging fruit and the proactive water conservation measures that communities can use. I mean, you guys are already there in terms of managing demand and using recycled water. Are there opportunities to do even more than that? You know, we can look at that as well. But a sense is that we've done, or Cambria, I should say, has done that and gone very far with that. And how much more water can you get using those options? So I'm going to spend a bit of time on this slide that I think will be a very effective way to showcase what we're trying to do in this process, because there is so much history produced. So I know there's been past public meetings and board meetings and all sorts of meetings where people have given comments, but formally for this and we're trying to make to the maximum extent possible use of existing information and knowledge of issues in the community. But for our process right now, we're saying, give us your thoughts and ideas about the concepts that are laid out in the back. And let me keep going. What we're going to do is shape these concepts that I get to in a future slide based on the input that you all give. So I did jot some notes, and as Sam was saying, when we get to that period, we're going to write them up here. But in terms of the core having certain water resource technical expertise, sure, we've got certain expertise. As Sam said in the beginning, we really need your local expertise and knowledge to help inform.
We'll get your questions after the presentation, because it's almost over.
Not quite. So what we're doing in this draft EIS EIR is, what are the problems, what are the existing conditions, and what we're doing right now is, through the scoping process and review of existing information, we will create some alternatives. So I just can't emphasize enough, we don't have any alternatives now. We tried to do some hydrogeologic testing in areas that people have referenced in order to inform a potential desal alternative, but we don't have any alternatives yet. Desal is one of our concepts. I wouldn't be surprised if it's an alternative. But what we're trying to do is get input from people on what those will be. And then we'll go through a formal alternative development and screening and analysis process that will lead to a selected alternative. And so fall of 2012 is our current estimate for when the draft EIS EIR would be done. And at that time, we'll be back here again, and there will be another public meeting. And I should have mentioned that when the little arrow is green, that is the indicating a formal opportunity for public input. So we'll have a public review, 45 days, of the document. And that's where you all will be able to see the specifics of alternatives and the specifics of analysis on impacts to biological resources, aesthetics, public safety, looking at public acceptability. So all of that will come, and hopefully by the fall. And we'll have another public meeting and we'll get more comments at that point. So then we use those. But I'm trying to make the point that there is more opportunity for input. So when we have our final EIS-EIR that will have responded to the comments we received during the review, there'll then be a public certification hearing in terms of the board, which is another opportunity for public input. And then ultimately what you get at the end of the day for NEPA, you get a ROD, a record of decision. That's when the recommendation is solidified and you get a notice of decision. It's called for CEQA purposes. So that's a summary of this process that we're really just starting now. Even though there's so much history here and so much that has happened, for the purposes of this integrated document and an eventual recommendation, you know, we could be a year from now, we could have a final EIS-EIR if things go well and funding is there. So, yeah, that hopefully lays out our process. And I think Bob Gressens was saying we could put the presentation on, I think some of you have the handouts, and maybe put it on a website so people can see this from there, too. Okay, so relationship of the EIS-EIR to the master plan that many of you are familiar with. So basically, I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but a programmatic, it's called, EIR was done for the master plan, and it was programmatic because the master plan didn't specifically recommend alternatives, you know, in site-specific locations. So that's what our EIS-EIR will do. And that's why we'll be able to do site-specific analysis of impacts. Okay, so I've been saying that we have concepts in the back, and I think it's the next slide that lays out what those are. What I want to emphasize here is when we use the input we're getting from you all and literature review and assessment and develop alternatives, then we'll get into that next phase of the process and we'll take, you know, we can take different aspects of different concepts and put them together into alternatives. The importance of NEPA is to get a range of alternatives. So what we try to do, you know, in a couple months from now, we'll be looking at a whole range of alternatives. And again, you know, the rain capture we heard, the in-stream, I wrote down some notes while people were talking. Already we've heard in-channel or side-channel capture, and there was one other one I wrote down. Or I happen to know that this is a terrible site for a certain option because of these impacts. I mean, it can go the whole gamut from specific concerns you have on options you've heard about to I think it's worth studying other things. So, I mean, that's what we want to hear from you tonight. One other key point of this slide is that the only alternative that we know we have right now is the no action alternative. That is one that's required by law, and so we know that we will carry through our, I was starting to say a minute ago, that you kind of brainstorm and put a lot of alternatives on the table, and then you use criteria to winnow them down into what's usually called a final array. You might have three or four or five that you do the detailed assessment on. Well, one of those is always going to be your no-action alternative mandated by law. What's the future going to be without your project? That's a really important point. Okay, and this is what I was getting at in terms of preliminary screening is done to winnow to a final array. And as some of you may know, this concept of an environmentally preferred alternative is something that we identify. And often it can be the recommended plan, but the purpose of NEPA is really to have transparent decision making. It's not to choose the environmentally preferred plan necessarily. It's to make sure that everybody knows, okay, this is what they started with, these were the measures, we call them, that were considered. They're put together in the shape of alternatives. Alternatives are winnowed down to a handful, and then you do the detailed analysis on different impacts, like I was mentioning, biological, marine resource, public safety, aesthetics. There's a long list of things that will be evaluated. And so it's that transparency of how we got to where we will end up in the fall that's really the key thing about NEPA. And then the decision makers choose which, you know, what the recommended plan is, and sometimes it's the environmentally preferred one. Okay, so in terms of what we're calling concepts, not to be coy or tricky, but just to make the point, that, and we have it on the posters back there, for discussion purposes, in terms of eliciting feedback. So we have a seawater desal concept. That could be a new plant. That could be tying into an existing plant, like at Morro Bay. That could be using, you know, there's a subset there, the brackish water desal. Illustrated in the foyer there, that would be more of a pipeline infrastructure. The concept is pipeline infrastructure. There's some water. Maybe they have enough that we could use. What would it take to get the water to Cambria? What are the costs? What are the impacts? And then another concept that's out there is, again, and it's using the local water resources that you have here, storing it underground in an aquifer. So you have more than you need at some times of the year. Is there a way to store it and get at it easily underground? And then, as I mentioned, there's the what's the future look like if we don't do anything? So we try to assess that as well. So this is a figure that briefly illustrates what we tried to show on the posters that if you didn't take a look at afterwards, I think there'll be time, highlighting the specific locations where we showed these concepts. So are these set in stone? No, but they were places that looked amenable to them, and we wanted to put them on paper so people had a better sense. You say, you know, above ground storage or underground storage, you know, what does that really mean? So there's details on the posters, and in chatting with some people beforehand, I was trying to emphasize these details don't take those to mean that we've already decided that's where it's going to be. That's not the case at all. But we were trying to give people a sense of what that concept was, what features would be a part of it, and what locales at a cursory, we've only been at the EIS for a couple months now. With the information we have, we picked what we thought were some good spots, but not set in stone at all. Okay, so just the last couple slides, and then I'll turn it back over to Sam. We've gotten some good input already. As Sam was saying, feel free to summarize again what you've already said, although I know we're committed to going back and capturing what people have said already. But we're looking at scope and content. So we're looking to your local expertise to make sure we don't miss any resources of value or specific locations of high value that you want to just say, hey, Corps, you know, you should know this about this one spot because of a certain species that's there, and you might not. Hey, Corps of Engineers, have you thought about this way to get at the water supply problem? So any and all input will be put into our draft EIS-EIR, and it'll be part of the record. So I think I'm going to stop right there. Okay, turn it to Sam. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. All right. This is the part I certainly have been waiting for, and I'm sure you have too. All right. There we go. Let's start with this. So what I'm going to be doing is I'll be going around. Raise your hand like this gentleman. You'll have to stand and say your name, apparently, because this is a public meeting. It's a formal meeting. And then your comment.
Steve Figler. In the slide presentation, there was the item preparation of draft EIS-EIR, which was followed by a public meeting for the public to react to it. Is there any reason why some members of the public can't be involved in the preparation of the draft so that we're proactive rather than reactive?
Actually, being at this meeting is being proactive, because the purpose of this meeting is to gather that information.
Right, but I'm talking about when the work is done to present something to the public and the board. I think that having some members of the public there who have a variety of points of view should be involved in the preparation of that draft.
Okay, so if I want to see if I make sure I understand this correctly, a good idea, along with the formal process that was outlined for public input, is potentially external meetings, additional meetings, where the community can get engaged in the process.
What I'm talking about is at the formal preparation meetings, uh-huh. not a group doing the preparation meetings and then opening up to the public and then closing down again. We want to be at the table.
Okay, good, good, got it, good. Thank you, great suggestion. That's the kind of stuff that we're trying to look for, that kind of information. Jim.
I hold it? Okay. I'm Jim Crescenzi. I've been resident here 11 years. And I know it's very difficult to discuss DCEL because it's a very emotional topic, but I'm going to anyway. Just for example, in way of motivation, I like to canoe. I was recently at a local reservoir, and you'd be amazed at how low some of these are getting. Yeah, some of the reservoirs have been labeled as totally unfeasible, totally irresponsible. And I would like to introduce a different concept. I would like people to consider that there could be a very poorly designed desal plant, which would do all the damage people are worried about to our environment. On the other extreme, surely there can be a very well-designed desal plant, which would have very, in fact, minimal, one could argue, no impact on the environment. Now, whether we could afford that, et cetera, I don't know. The final comment or question, because I as an engineer, I always think you can solve things technically, so I'm inclined to think that you could do a well-designed desal plant. Neighbor of mine said, no, I'm opposed to desal. I said, why? And he was a very respectable guy. And I said, why? He said, well, point to one example of one successful desal plant for a small community like ours anywhere in California. And the only one that I'm aware of is Sand City. And but does the Corps know, I guess, one of an example, you know, of an example that you could report on, could tell all the facts to the community of Cambria as to how it works and why it was successful, or perhaps of some as a baseline, and then there would be a jump in technology? Because right now, I think there is a healthy level of skepticism about desal. Thank you.
Very good, very good. You know what, I'm going to come right over you two here, and then I want to just hit the big gorilla that's in the room, the big invisible gorilla that I heard in the earlier comments. Obviously, we're looking at a variety of concepts. Desal has been one that's been talked about for a long time because of all the efforts. It seems like there's a split within the group, so I'd just like to take a quick straw poll of the group that's here today. Those who thoroughly oppose desal and don't believe that it's a viable solution at all. Are there anybody here that believes in that statement? Quite a few of you. Let's see. Keep your hands up a little bit because I want to make sure the team, you got it? Are you counting? Got it?
You might say
what kind of... This is okay. Thank you. This is the first question was you just this is not your you don't believe in it as a solution. How many of you believe that desal needs further study? I think this would be kind of like the gym concept. It needs further study to figure out if there's a good version or a bad version. How many believe that there's still some hope or potential for that as a technology?
Because I don't think too many of them. If there's only one in California that works, why?
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Very good. Excuse me, Catherine.
My name is Ian, and in response to Jim's remark, I believe that Sand City is closed down.
So a thread that we're hearing is if there's analogs, if there's existing desal plants, what are they doing, what are their impacts and stuff? You go ahead.
Yeah, Tina Dickinson, my concern is what we have been led to believe over the last few years by different presidents or directors of the board. We were told initially that Cambria required 602 acre feet with a desal plant. Interesting that it's 602 because they come in modules, my understanding of 300. By getting 602, you can build on to that next 300. But then we were told about 2 years ago, no, we think we are only going to need around 300 acre feet. And 2 months ago, one of the current directors said, we don't need the Taj Mahal, we only need 100 acre feet. So to go to all of this trouble and expense, and then for the Coastal Commission to have turned us down, they can't do the testing on state parks, beaches or property. They can't do it. So I think we've seen now we've shut off our lobbyist in Washington. We're no longer paying for a lobbyist. It's obvious that the way this is going is we need to look at other alternatives that are viable, and we need to know how much water do we really need. Okay, so we've got to get that question.
Can't manage the problem unless you can measure it. This is the idea. I'm going to start this way. I'm sorry, sir. And I'm going to make a big sweep across the room here, okay? Let's see. I'm going to start with you. You had 3 points you made earlier. Make them very briefly because you already had your 3 minutes.
That's fine. I'm going to be a little bit more technical for this question. I want to know, based upon the mitigation measure that has been passed and is implemented, the build-out reduction program, if, as part of the EIS, if there's going to be a statistical and quantitative analysis relating to the significant effects and cumulative effects that are considerably cumulative relating to future projects.
Okay. We'll put that as something you'd like to see in it. All right. All right. Very good. Yes, sir.
My name is Jerry McKinnon. I'd like to speak to a historic event in Cambria. In 1976, I believe, the CCSD was established, and about 7 years later, in 1984, there was an enterprise proposed that there be a reservoir built, a dam constructed on Steiner Creek, and the reservoir would have a golf course next to it, that there would have been condominiums built.
Lost in last place and only got 600 votes, excuse me. That doesn't matter. Morro Bay had a desal plant, and 11 years, it produced 8 gallons of water. That works out to about $700,000 a gallon. And they sold it. And so if we're going to go down that route, they should keep the Morro Bay experience in mind. Thank you.
Very good. All right, let's see. I'm going to step over there and then come back this way, okay? All right, briefly.
Christine Heinrichs of Cambria. As the point has been made several times, now, of those alternatives, two of them are desalination. Desalination is never going to be approved in this area. As been pointed out, it is protected nationally, it's protected by the state. It's over. Take them off the board.
Right. That's why I asked the straw poll question earlier, yes.
Yes, and we would like some research by the Chambers Group on the cost of alternative conservation measures, okay, catchment, recycling of treated water, that sort of thing. And if you want to satisfy yourselves on desal, compare the amount of oil and fuel that it would cost to take the brine out compared to treated water. It's 1/10 for the treated water compared to desal.
Very good. And then I think you, sir.
Pat Child, just for clarification, in the early 90s, when the Central Coast was going through a significant drought, Morro Bay scrambled to provide water to their community, put in a desal plant. Also, Santa Barbara did the same. The reason those desal plants are not used, both communities elected to provide their community with state water. We don't have that opportunity. Just like we won't have the opportunity to bring water over from Nacimiento. The reason being, when you study the environmental impacts, you'll find that the head pressure to pump that water over the hill will be equal to or greater than the pumping costs of desal. Also, the mercury will not be allowed to be put in the stream because it will then make the water in the stream less desirable than it already might have been. And the last point I want to make is I think we really need to look at the safe annual yield that our creeks will provide during...
Me too.
I think one of the issues that it's been mentioned tonight is the documentation of real need. And I would like the Cambria CCSD to provide you, as you do your work with Chambers, on documentation of the actual need, not simply universally, but by category, residential and commercial, et cetera. And I think that when you look at that, you will discover that you might also find documentation that can support the general claim that Cambria is a leader in conservation and recycling. I would like to see numbers that support that claim. And when you get those numbers, then put down as a good hint for Cambria to give new meters to the commercial people, because the residential people have the new meters, which allegedly are effective. I would like the commercial people to have that. Maybe some of that $10 billion can fund that. I would also like to see if maybe conservation and recycling could be alternatives. And because they haven't been talked about that way tonight, and I don't think that brackish desalination is going to give us one drop more of water than conservation or recycling would. Now, two books to read, and I want you to read them before you do this. I want you to read Ed Ricketts' Between the Tides. Some of you in here know him. He was up at Monterey, and he was the doc in Cannery Row. This man understood life between the tides here along California. He, Between the Tides, I got it at garage sale. I didn't know him, diddly squat, and I found it. He and John Steinbeck, whom you may well know of, wrote a book together called The Sea of Cortez. And they went down and studied off of Baja, Mexico, in a fascinating way, what we are now talking about in terms of ecology. And these guys, I think they were inspired, to be candid, by the alcohol they drank. Now, I have one, as required, the site-specific analyses of impacts. I have one. All right. I walk the beach here a lot. I mean, several times a week. I clean up the beach. I'm virtuous beyond belief. One of the things I often find on the beaches, from Morro Bay on up to San Simeon, mm-hmm. Arroyo de la Cruz, okay?
I brought a sample.
Down in Santa Barbara, the USGS has done a detailed study of what is offshore in terms of natural things. This is called Sil Rock and Nacimiento. Every one of those will have to be developed so that in your intake pipes, you can prevent this from jamming it up like crazy. And this will flow like you won't believe. So it's not just going to be a nice wire thing that's going to prevent it. That is one sign. And the other word I want you to put up there, because you're going to have to do all this whole base data for this. I want you to do some base data analysis of phytoplankton in the, I would say, 10 miles offshore here.
Phytoplankton.
Okay, very good. Phytoplankton. F-I-D-O. Okay. And now you see why we do a scoping meeting. This is the idea that there's local knowledge that we as the professionals are able to gather because we're not walking on your beaches and picking up this stuff. Yeah, please do. And that's also another thing, too. You do all have a comment form that you picked up at the front. You can leave the comment form and leave it with us tonight. On the bottom of the comment form are addresses. You can mail it to us. There's email addresses. You can email stuff. So I'm sure as you're developing even more ideas, as soon as you get in your car, you're going to hit your head and you're going, oh, I knew I should have said that. You still can. We still have days. Just write to us. We really, really need this information. So we're now to you. Thank you for your patience, Valerie.
It's no problem at all listening to Elizabeth. I love listening to her. I and there's a lot of us who either are professors in town or former professors, so, like Elizabeth. Anyway, I wanted to say we have a reputation for being high on conservation in Cambria. However, if you look at the actual funds spent on conservation, well, there. When I looked into it last year, because we were hoping to get a rebate on a low flow. Washing machine or low use water washing machine, and the funds had run out, and the total allocation was something like $2,000, way less than we used to pay a lobbyist every month for lobbying for desal. And we do have purple pipes for recycling that come already down through Main Street, but they were never connected. So how much money have we actually invested in conservation and recycling by comparison with desal? I would say about a tenth of a percent.
So I'm hearing one consistent thread is the idea of it's either conservation or demand management's another way of calling it. That have we use that tool to its fullest extent when we're trying to determine what our future needs are going to be. And many of you are suggesting we haven't reached that
point. Water from Cambria, so there's an easement to there. And there is also a sewer pipe, a storm sewer, that runs straight out into the ocean, and it's existing. And so you may be able to get water from the ocean there without disturbing the beaches here. Now, I'm hearing a lot of, like, we can't do that, we can't do this. A number of years ago, when we couldn't do something for desal or pump up reservoir, I came to the same kind of meeting, and one of the CCSD directors at that time said that we'd never be able to get a pump up reservoir because we could never get the permits, we could never do this. And I happened to have had in my back pocket at that time a newsletter from the Sea Ranch. And the Sea Ranch was dedicating their pump up reservoir at that exact moment when here they were saying it could not be done. And so it was done there, and so that could be a possibility here.
Good. Thank you. And I will say that you have been giving us some really good opportunities as well, too, which I think is real important. Hang on for you as well, because I want to make sure anybody else who did not speak within that first hour, the 3 minutes, would you like to add? Do you have any other ideas, suggestions? Please raise your hand. I got one back here, and then I'll come back to everybody who had a chance to speak earlier. Excuse me. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name's Bob Fountain. I just want people to understand that alternatives can be a multiple set of alternatives. We can have several different conservation methods. Rainwater is another. If you start looking at every home and the amount of surface area that water can be captured on the surface, that's a possibility. Gray water is another possibility. Several other conservation methods can be used. But the concept is that you use a set of them, not necessarily just one and go with one. But if you combine a lot of different methods like that, you can have a significant impact.
Excellent, excellent. All right, one big whack more. Anybody else who had not spoken before who would like to add either an issue, opportunity? She spoke earlier. I'll get over there. I'm going to do these three first. Anybody else? Okay, now we're going back to the folks who spoke earlier. So you want to add?
All right, Mahala Burton. I wanted to ask a question about the money that 10.3 authorization from Lois Capps, and if I am bored.
Years. What happens to that? You made it sound like it's just really simple to change over to another supply. I don't believe that.
Oh, no, you shouldn't believe it. It isn't simple. There was, and somebody throw a pen at me if I'm misstating this, but because we talked about this a lot. As I understand it, the $10.3 million was authorized for this particular project, although it's not funded. It's been authorized. If the community chooses that one of the other concepts is more appropriate as a solution for the community, the $10.3 million is for a desal plant, but there can be an effort to reapply those funds to the technology that's going to meet the needs of the community. It isn't going to be easy because you're basically having to change the law, and you're going to have to go through that process. And as I think the reauthorization process, and as you saw on the slide, that took a few years. So it's not easy, but it also doesn't mean that because there is an authorization for one solution, that that's the only solution that exists. At the contract, right. If the community and through this process determines that there is a more viable solution that meets the purpose, because the key here was that purpose statement. That was the most important thing to remember, is providing a reliable water source. So if there's a better solution, whether it be conservation, pumping dams, or whatever it is, that is more appropriate, then your board has the opportunity to go through a process to get that money reallocated towards the appropriate solution. But it isn't easy. Oh, it's not going to be an easy process. So don't want to give that impression. But it can ultimately be reassigned after a bit of effort. After years. Yeah. I'm not going to, I mean, think of this process taking a year or so, too. All right, you had a comment.
Yeah, my name's Jim Webb again. I had two comments. One is, this project is a project-level EIR that tiers off of the program-level EIR. In Task 4 of the program-level EIR was a series of evaluations of alternatives that were developed. Many of the assumptions that underlie the ratings of those alternatives have changed. Board members have made it clear that things such as the 50% quality of life addition to our water supply may no longer be a goal that they have. And this kind of goes to the poisoned fruit off a poisoned tree. If the task for evaluation is now tainted by data that's no longer valid, will this process require a reason?
Are waitlist people and people who have lots and real estate agents and things and people that are going to be making money off of desalination and the rest of us. So I think it's really important when you ask to raise your hands what you're for and what you're against. There needs to be a distinguishing between who's a Cambria ratepayer and who is not. The other thing is I take exception to Mr. Crescenzi saying that our opposition to desal is based on some kind of emotional, oh, we're afraid of desal, or we just don't understand desal. That's absolutely not true. We totally understand the technology. It's not that we're against desalination as a technology. It's totally understandable. It works in Saudi Arabia, where oil is free. It's not going to work here, where we have these high costs of energy. We have highly protected areas. It doesn't matter if you go to Cayucas, if you're going to go to the Cove in San Simeon, you're going to find the same kind of a problem. The other thing I wanted to say is that unlike being emotional about desalination, what we want is data-based decision-making. I want to see customer billing data for the last 10 years by customer class, single-family, multifamily, commercial, internal accounts, and vacation rentals. I want to see vacation rentals become commercial instead of what they're called now, which is just residential. And I want to see a 10-year actual averaging of all of those, or actual, not averaging, but the actual customer billing data. We also want to see those in-stream flow studies done so we can know what kind of water is needed to protect the habitat. We want to see the funding for the conservation plans that have already been approved by the CCSD that have not been funded. That is the Cambria Forest Management Plan, which is mitigation. Forest also helps to protect the habitat and protects our water supplies. We want to see that habitat conservation plan was needed to be done. It has never been done. And the Santa Rosa Creek Watershed Management Plan, the goals in those need to be followed. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think one of the points that Jim was trying to talk about was there are existing facilities and there could be lessons to learn, both positive and negative, for those facilities. I will make I do have to make this statement. I think all of you are here because it's in your enlightened self-interest to do what's right that you believe for your family and for your community, and you may not always be on the same page with what you believe is the right thing, but I think that everybody that's here tonight is sincere about their wishes, their desires to be heard. So with that, I'm going to have you hang on for a second. I'm going to come to you, and then I'll come right on that other side. What do you got?
Amanda Rice, just straight directly to the project purpose, to provide a reliable, adequate water supply to CCSD's domestic water supply. And the thing that's missing in this project purpose, affordability. Okay, reliable, adequate, affordable supply. This community has proven in 2007, proven it is very, very price sensitive. They tried to do a rate increase, and what happened? This community stood up and said, excuse me, no, that ain't happening. This community need that, without having that cost in that purpose, I think you'd be wasting a lot of time.
Very good. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. And if there's others, then the project purpose is part of this discussion as well. Okay, let's go running over here. And before I get to you, who else would like to speak? I was trying to get an assessment of how many more comments that we're going to have. Anybody? You're going to have one there, a couple back there?
My name is Alma Horvath, and I am a resident of Cambria, and I've also been a member of UNLOC. I was here since 1985. My husband and I bought our property in 1992. We just built our home. It cost us an extreme amount of money because of the moratorium. I really get offended when you say, several of you, that we're all speculators, that we're all here to make money. How dare you say that? We bought the properties. We are entitled to that property. We are entitled to build on it. We are entitled to have services. We are entitled for sewer and water. It is our property as much as your property is yours. If you built your house, good. If you bought it already built, that's fine. but I have my property and I'm entitled to that service.
Thank you. All right, so let's see. We had a couple more. Did you want to say something? Okay, well, let's see. We'll put that as an offline comment. So I want to get, because we're going to only have a couple more minutes before 9 o'clock. So I want to assess where we're at. We'll have some comments from the board here. I'll finish with you guys, because then I'll have to turn it back over to you. You wanted to make a comment. Is there anybody else that has any other issues, opportunities, any other things that they would like to express to us? If not, what I'm going to do is take your comments, sir. Then I'm going to try to do a quick summary to make sure that I've got everything up there, and then we'll get to the board comment.
Al Abney, I'm a Cambria resident. I saw people tonight put in a lot of work and their hearts, and I would hate it if we don't get an honest and decent hearing on this. Because I don't entirely trust you, and I do not entirely trust the CCSD. All right.
Thank you. One very quick comment. And yeah, you should, and that is part of the EIS, EIR proper.
Staff, I would like to know, of the 666 persons or individuals on the water wait list, how many of those people really want to build here, or did they buy their property for speculation? I really want to know, because that impacts how much water we really, really need. And I would like to know that, and I think our town deserves to know that. Thank you so much.
All right, very good. So it is now 9 o'clock. I'd like to ask the permission of the group to take another 7 minutes so that I can do just a quick summary to make sure that we've got everything, then to turn it to the board for any of the board comments. Do I have your permission for another 7 minutes? Yes? Okay, thank you. All right, so what do we got here? We were talking about the public meetings. We've got... Oh, gosh, this is going to be a hard one. All right, you guys have so much technical stuff. All right, so let's see here. Let me start here. One of the things is that this is not a project that exists in isolation, that there are desalination plants in California, that we should take a look at those facilities to see all of their viability. Do they serve the need? Are they economical? Do they serve what the public has? Are they operating appropriately? There's good lessons or bad lessons to learn. There's a lot of questions, and I can just say this one right out. There's a lot of questions about trust, about the numbers and the demand and the need, so that we need to figure out exactly what the problem is before we can go ahead and figure out what the solution is going to be. I'll wait till I have everybody's attention. Because I want to make sure I got this. Because if I'm not getting this right, especially for those who have spoken a couple of times, I want to make sure that you walk away knowing that we've captured what you've said to us here. So right now, there's a lot of skepticism about the numbers that have been used to be processed, that needs to be an open and a transparent process, and it needs to also incorporate a variety of other plans and planning efforts. Also, to try to look back at the record of the comments that have happened over the last 10 or 11 years. So a lot of stuff with statistics, a lot of interest and cumulative effects.
Applies to the BRP.
The mitigation measure and force effect, and how does your project affect our projects? The BRP is...
The cumulative, how this would be cumulative.
The BRP is implemented. The question is how the cumulative impacts and significant impacts of your project impacts
okay, good. Got that. All right, good. Thank you for the clarification. That's why we're doing this. There's a lot of really good specific, like locational, take a look at this, take a look at that, here's an opportunity, and a lot of that is highly detailed and specific. There was water as it is today, that there's more that can be done on the demand management side, that there's more innovation, and the constant concept that I've heard was that we talk that we're a community that's on the cutting edge, but are we really on the cutting edge? We should be on the cutting edge, and if we can conserve water, that may mitigate the need to import or find new water sources. Did I get that correct?
Is that correct?
Better.
That's better.
What's not correct?
Well, I'll be on specifics. We're actually at the 2020 goal is 105 gallons per person per day.
Okay.
We're actually at 95 now. So really what they did with the urban water management plan is they increased our water use.
Oh, okay. So this is the numbers, and that goes back to the sort of the trust but verify, to borrow a phrase from somebody that kind of lived around here at one point. So trust but verify. There's mixed feelings in desalination, but I will say that from looking at this particular group that came tonight, this is generally not the big cheerleaders for desal. Although there are some people that still feel it's a viable technology. There's a lot of talk about trying to find the balance between the cost of supplying the water and the water itself, and in some cases you're going to spend more money than you need to, and so it's trying to get the economics balanced with the supply of the water. Everybody's going to be looking at this thing with a microscope. I can see that the documents, so their Chambers has got their challenge cut out for them to come up with something very, very good and clean. There are issues like the oils. This is what, like using rainwater, using like cisterns and capturing rainwater? Look at a set of alternatives. So it's a very holistic way of dealing with water management is something that we want to look at. A lot of questions, once again, about facts, figures, making sure that the numbers are all there. Did I miss anything here so far?
Real quick, the comment about having the public involved during the process. Yeah. I just wanted to highlight that one before the formal process and possibility of having the public involved earlier.
Okay, good.
I just wanted to.
So keeping you guys engaged. All right, is there something I missed or I misstated up there?
Hang on.
Oh, I think that the Air Force Base was, it was a location and somebody should take a look at it because there may be infrastructure.
We're having trouble figuring out where we want to get our salt water from because we went to the beach wells here and couldn't do it, went to the beach wells there and couldn't do it. There is, a number of years ago when they were running the communication cables to China, there was a bunch of people looking up and down the coast for where you could run the cables out of the United States. And that was one of the places that they were interested in because they could get into the ocean.
All right. We're just about to run out of time. What do you got, Richard?
I think it's important to know the existing flow capacity for the sewage system, the drainage system for Cambria today. And if there's a chance of exceeding it, what that chance might be.
The
sewer flows. Basically, it's the other end. It's the other end of the equation. trying to figure it out from the other end of the equation. All right, is there any other additional comments? Any other ideas or anything that I either misstated in my summary and I want to get it right? We'll go Greg and then over here.
Just a quick comment on the Air Force Base. The original permit for Cambria Community Services District 132, I think it's 18 or 10, someone can check on that, required under the sphere of influence that they had to come back and serve the Air Force Base as a condition. That wasn't part of their original service area. So there should be a benefit to go back and try to use their facilities if it's otherwise viable, since that was a requirement for the district service area.
Right.
That was through the Coastal Commission.
All right, we'll learn a lot about the Air Force Base. That's good. All right. And I think this will be our final comment before I turn it back to the board.
To really specify the need for the project, I'd like the CCSD to make the water wait list public and actually put people's names on the list and how many properties they own in town, whether they actually have a residence here, how many other lots and vacant parcels that they have in town that they are willing to or ready to develop. It is public information. It's available at the SLO County website at the assessor's office. I've actually done some of the research myself and can provide them some of that information if they don't have it. And I want to know if that wait list is changing. How are people getting off of it, getting onto it? Why we've had 310 additional housing units during a moratorium when the wait list has not been reduced.
That are on the wait list should be participating in this aspect of city government.
Okay. So
So the one,
and this is a thread that I've heard throughout this, transparency and openness in the process would only benefit the process, and that this process needs to reflect that. So did we capture everything? Did we get the issues, the opportunities, your hopes and your fears? Did we get the subtleties of it? And obviously, we'd like to make sure that if you have additional comments, leave them with us tonight, email them. Snail mail them to us. There's another 9 days. Try to get them the comments. If you have, and we really like that information, especially those that have like specific location things. Those can be very
on the website because we didn't get a chance to look at them.
The conceptual.
Putting the concepts up there? Okay, we'll mention it to the team and figure out what we can do with that. All right, so we've got that. So that's back into the transparency and more information. Did you find this evening the discussion helpful? Did everybody feel like you got you spent time with us this evening, and we want to make sure that you got heard. Does everybody feel that you had your chance to be heard and heard with respect here tonight? Yes? Excellent. That's what we wanted to find out. With that, I'm going to do something that's going to sound really horrible. I'm going to turn the meeting back, officially back to the board president, so the board president can take comments from the members of the board. Sam is dreaming in his fondest dreams that none of the members of the board will make any comments, and that tonight that they've used this opportunity as a listening session. And with that, I will turn it over to the chair. Thank you all very much for your participation. We really appreciate you coming out and spending the time with us this evening and giving us this information. Thank you.
You're okay, right? You want to comment? No. With that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.